Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I'm in for Dave Rothenberg, and then Dan Grosso will follow me, and he will be in for my show, right? We've got Mish and Ty on the opposite side of the glass, which, of course, if you've been listening to 98.7 ESPN for the past, 3 hours, you will know that. Where is Dave Rothenberg? Why am I don't even know. Why am I in early today? Do we know?
Dave just took a day off.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yeah.
He just wanted to take
a day off.
Okay. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Frees up my afternoon. So it's a shame that the weather is not nicer. I could be playing golf somewhere. But a lot to get to and a lot of NBA talk today because of should we call it a poop show? All that happened this week in the NBA between LeBron and KD and Anthony Davis and the Pelicans and the Ball family. Boy, isn't LeVar Ball the gift that keeps on giving to sports talk radio? It's just ridiculous. Also, this is my first time on the radio post-Super Bowl. And so I, at some point in the show, I definitely want to break that down. Also, you have the Alliance of American Football League. Is it even a league? that kicks off tonight. San Diego at San Antonio and Atlanta at Orlando. I don't even think I'm going to watch this as much as I love football. Do you know anyone? Here's the thing, Ty. Do you know anyone who loves football as much as I love football? Probably not.
Yeah.
You
Chris
do not.
Canty. You
Who?
Played it, Chris Canty. You played in the National Football League.
Yeah, but you really like? I mean, love. I mean, like.
Yeah, it was blood, sweat, and tears for him. He won a championship. I'd say he loves football just as much, if not more, than you do.
I don't think more, but maybe I could go with just as much.
So you don't think that a guy who actually played in the National Football League loves it more than you?
Well, like for example, Nigerian Nightmare. He once told me that he hated football, that the only reason – there's a lot of guys out there that only play football because it's a paycheck for them.
I don't think Chris is one of those guys, though.
I'm not saying that he is. But I would argue. I think that nobody here at this radio station loves football more than me. And I'm not going to watch this Alliance of American Football. Anyway, San Diego at San Francisco, Atlanta at Orlando. It's a 10-game season for these teams. The championship is April 27th. You could see it on CBS, NFL Network, TNT. Here's a reason to watch. Hackenberg is one of the quarterbacks. Christian Hackenberg is one of the quarterbacks for this league. Anyway, it's a development league for the NFL, and it's a bunch of number two players. One would argue that Hackenberg isn't even a number two player, but nonetheless, that's happening tonight. 800-919-3776. All right, so let's do this. I want to spend the first hour of the show talking about the drama that unfolded throughout the NBA this week and how that will pertain to the Knicks this offseason. Dave McMinigan. Did I pronounce that? McMinigan. McMiniman? There's no G in it. McMinniman. Okay. McMiniman. Did I say it? Okay, there we go. Third time's a charm, always. Who covers the Lakers. He's going to join us around 10:30 this morning. And then RJ Bell is going to join us, as always, as he joins Dave Rothenberg from 10 to noon right here on 98.7 ESPN. So that's our show lined up for you. And then, like I said, Dan Grosso comes your way at high noon. So... oh, my goodness. I feel like a kid in a candy store. Where do we want to start first? How about we start with LeBron? Because you know I love him so much. Gaming the system yet again. Gaming the system yet again in such an amazing way. So we're looking at this Lakers team. And of course, it's owned by, some would argue, one of the best families in all of sport, the Buss family. Magic Johnson allegedly is now in control of the decision-making process. Some would beg to differ. LeVar Ball this week begs to differ. Everybody wants to see Luke Walton go. They want him fired. They want him gone. They want him out the door. And here's this potential big trade offer for Anthony Davis to the Pelicans, which pretty much was the entire Lakers team. I know I'm exaggerating here. The entire Lakers team, except LeBron James, to the Pelicans, as well as, I want to say, what, two first-round draft picks as well in exchange for Anthony Davis. And so what was the fallout? The fallout was a number of players, including Ball and a number of players, were shocked, upset, disappointed. There's some speculation out there that the Pelicans had no intention at all making this trade happen, and they were leaking this information just to make the situation bad in Los Angeles with LeBron James. So, you know, we get into this conversation with LeBron James a lot, and it's beyond just, do you feel that he's the greatest of all time? And we compare him to Michael Jordan. And I'm going to wrap this in a way that we've been talking about Tom Brady this week as well, because we as a society, we have, and I totally disagree with this, by the way, but we as a society have now made it a point to judge players who play in team sports as the greatest of all time based on the number of championships that they win. So that is the ultimate goal for a player who at the end of the day wants to be viewed as the greatest of all time. And so we've seen how LeBron James has tried to manipulate that narrative to win more championships than Michael Jordan. For those that make the argument for Michael Jordan that he's better than LeBron James, and you and I, Ty, you and I were talking about this before we started the show, right? LeBron James has gone to 9 championships. He's won 3. He's lost 6. Michael Jordan has been to 5, and he won all 5, right?
6.
So I'm sorry. He's been to 6. He won all 6. We mentioned Kobe, right? Kobe Bryant's.
5 up, 2 down.
5 up, 2 down. But Kobe's not even in this. Kobe doesn't even make the discussion. It always comes down to LeBron James and Michael Jordan. And I'm not sitting here telling you that LeBron James isn't one of the most outstanding basketball players that have ever walked the face of the earth. He absolutely is. And it is a fair argument to make in regard to who's better, who was better at the end of their careers, who will you look at and say, this is the GOAT, this is the greatest basketball player of all time. Some would even say it would come down to LeBron or Jordan. But we're basing it on a lot of people, majority of people base it on the championships. And those that support Michael Jordan base it on the number of championships that he's won compared to LeBron. But the difference is the way that LeBron is orchestrating attaining that goal and trying to win more championships than Michael Jordan. Leaving Cleveland in the style and the way and the custom that he did. Going to Miami, creating that super team in Miami, leaving Miami and heading back to Cleveland. And if you want to believe that it was because in his heart of all hearts, he wanted to go back and win a championship for his hometown, so be it. I don't believe it. I think he saw Kyrie Irving. He saw what a young, upcoming, healthy stud he was and felt that he had a better chance of winning more championships back in Cleveland with Kyrie Irving than he did back in Miami with Dwayne Wade in his ailing knee. And orchestrating Kevin Love. I think that was already in the works to bring him to Cleveland. So he orchestrates that situation, wins another championship, if not 2. And then now he goes to Los Angeles. And so here he is now in Los Angeles and manipulating the system and gaming the system. And he can come out and say that he's not forcing the Lakers' hand in making these trades. I'm not believing that. I'm not believing that at all. My question is, and we'll take your calls, Tony, Bobby, hang tight, 800-919-3776. This is my question. Is the way that we have seen LeBron maneuver, manipulate, And again, I call it hashtag gaming the system. At the end of the day, first of all, I don't believe that he's going to win 6 championships, let alone 7 to surpass MJ. I don't see that happening. But let's say, hypothetically speaking, he does. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, he ties MJ and he wins 6. Is the way that he attained the 6 put a asterisk? Has the way that he has gone about this make you look at him and his success differently? Where now you're sitting back and saying, well, it's lackluster. It takes away from what MJ was able to do on one team 6 times. 800-919-3776. Out of curiosity, Tony, Bobby, you guys will be first up. Also, LeBron James spoke to the media. Another thing he said this week was that he's not chasing anything. I find that hard to believe as well. Again, we live in a society, a sports community, where we judge on the number of championships. Tom Brady being a perfect example of what happened this past week.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
There's nothing I need to get in this league that I don't already have. So everything else, you know, for me is just like just icing on the cake. You know, I love, you know, the process of everything that I go through to be able to compete every single night, you know, put teams in position to compete for championships. But there's nothing that I'm chasing or that I feel like I need to end my career on.
Liar! Liar, liar, pants on fire. Stop yourself, LeBron James. That's why he drafted for the All-Star game 5 cats that are potential free agents that he can recruit on Team LeBron. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, and Klay Thompson. Stop yourself. Unbelievable. By the way, in regard to the Pelicans and Anthony Davis, the Pelicans, I'm reading this from Yardbarker. The Pelicans announced in a statement Thursday that they would play Anthony Davis despite the big man demanding a trade that did not happen before the Thursday deadline. After the deadline passed, Davis remained with the team, but there was some thinking that the Pelicans would not play Davis. The justification would be that A, preventing him from getting injured, which could damage his trade value, and in ruining their draft position as they want to try to T-A-N-K and tank. Apparently, Brian Windhorst said that he's reporting that the NBA had threatened to fine the Pelicans $100,000 per game if Davis was benched while healthy. Just FYI. And he played last night. So I guess they didn't get that $100,000 fine. So again, I'm not believing that comment from LeBron James. I'm not believing it at all. On top of that, if you saw, I'm trying to think, what day was it that the Lakers were playing and LeBron was sitting on one side of the bench and like there was like 4 seats between him and the rest.
It was Tuesday night.
It was Tuesday
night. They lost by 48 points. It was the worst loss of LeBron's career.
It was unbelievable.
He was sitting on the bench 3 seats away from the next Laker player.
Right. And of course the narrative was the Laker players, because all the Pelicans in that organization was leaking in regard to the potential trade deal, that there was some animosity and anger within that Lakers locker room, which apparently now there's a report that Magic Johnson has had to step in to talk to the team.
And the fans in Indiana were actually cheering, like while Lakers players were at the free throw line, cheering, LeBron's going to trade you. LeBron's going to trade you.
I think we have it. Yeah, let's listen in.
He averaged 16 points last year in year two. He's at 17.2. And his last.
LeBron's going to trade you. LeBron's gonna trade you. Oh my God. What's worse, that or who's your daddy? I think this surpasses who's your daddy. Maybe not.
That one's tough.
I know.
That's a tough one.
So earlier this week as well, Harrison Barnes was traded from the Dallas Mavericks, and he was traded mid-game. So he was sitting on the bench and the cameras kept on going to him. So LeBron went to Instagram and released this on social media. So let me guess, this is cool because they had to do what's best for the franchise, right? Traded this man while he was literally playing in the game and had zero idea. I'm not knocking who traded him because it's a business and you have to do what you feel is best. But I just want this narrative to start to get real slash change. And not when a player wants to be traded or leave a franchise that he's a selfish, ungrateful player. But when they trade you, release, waive, cut, it's best for them. I'm okay with both honestly, truly am. Just call a spade a spade. Here's what LeBron doesn't get. And I understand because we put LeBron is otherworldly, right? We have put LeBron, we have made LeBron feel that he is not human. He is superhuman. That he is the greatest basketball player of all time. That he walks on water. That if he was to touch your forehead, he would heal you of cancer. We have made LeBron James feel this way about himself. So he puts himself above a franchise, above the league, and doesn't realize you are not a franchise within yourself. We, and I am including myself, right? I'm part of the media. Fans and the media have created this perception. It's not even a perception. We, the media and fans, have created this realization for LeBron James that he is above everyone else because he can dribble a basketball and shoot a basketball better than anyone else on the planet right now. So because of that, we have elevated him to superhuman. And so the normal way that life operates with corporations and companies who hire and fire you, and in sports, sign you or trade you, because that's what an organization is entitled to do, that it shouldn't apply to him, right? Because let's face it, he's sitting here and he's going to bat for Harrison Barnes, but Harrison Barnes doesn't have the power that LeBron James has. There's only a few, there's maybe a handful of guys that have that power in the NBA that could game the system, hashtag, that I like to call it, right? LeBron, KD, Anthony Davis. Who else? Who else am I missing? I think there's only a handful of guys that have the power to really game the system and dictate where they're going and what they're doing, right? The signing, the one deal, and then the option the next year to make a decision whether he wants to stay in the city that he's in because of the talent that the organization has created around him, or he wants to go somewhere else and hope that that organization and that general manager and that ownership will build the talent that he needs around him to win a championship. It's not a lot of people that have that kind of power. But he went to bat for a guy who doesn't have that kind of power. It's a different universe for LeBron James than everybody else. But if you do follow LeBron James on Instagram, did you guys look and see the reaction? Did you see, like, 75% to 80% of the reaction on Instagram was very negative towards LeBron, which is
well,
very...
Well, because he's being hypocritical.
Of course,
like,
he is.
This is the same guy trying to trade his entire roster, not just with the Lakers, but he did the same thing in Cleveland. Did the same thing in Miami.
Gaming the system. And prior to him posting this, didn't he tell all the young Laker players, stay off social media?
Yes.
It's a bad place.
Yep, he did say that.
It's a bad place. But he goes to social media to get his message out pertaining to him to try to improve his image. Just to share a few of the reaction posts on LeBron's Instagram, to make this man a victim who stole $20 million a year from the Mavs and didn't perform well enough to stay is a joke. People in America don't have jobs. You are employees who have transferable contracts that you signed and understood the deal. The reason people are complaining is because of all that you are starting to not even honor those contracts as employees and requesting trades. Dude, you're legit trying to trade your entire team. Are you not self-aware at all? I like that one. Lost all respect for you from an NBA perspective. You still are a good man, but let me tell you a bit about me I'm not going to go into that one. Love most of what you bring to the Lakers, but you are being really hypocritical lately. Advising youngins to stay off social media when you're out there parading, trades and all. Dude, seriously, shut the hell up. You've become a cancer for the one proudest franchise in all of sports. You're single-handedly bringing the franchise down. Harrison Barnes said himself he knew there was a possible trade and in the works and elected on his own to play anyway. Over and over again, you open your mouth and only garbage comes out. I'm just sharing a few of these because I'll be honest with you. I was very, very surprised the negative reaction that LeBron James got from that post on social media. More from LeBron James.
The worst thing that you can do right now is be on social media. And I know all young guys love social media. So, you know, that definitely can't help.
I just can't. I can't. This is another I just can't with him. This is another I just can't. I don't even. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Tony in Staten Island. Tony, you're up.
Anita, how's it going?
Good. I would say good afternoon. I'm used to saying good afternoon on Saturdays, but I'm in for Dave Rothenberg this morning. So good morning, Tony.
Yeah, we saw that. I'm with my guys right now. We're driving up to Massachusetts for a training with the Army Reserves. It's like, they're put on ESPN. We're going to call it to Anita. So.
Oh, that's nice. Well, wait, time out. Let's rewind. You had me at Army Reserves. So it's you and what, two, three other guys in the car right now?
Yeah.
And you guys are in the Army Reserves. Thank you so much for defending our country.
Thank you.
Okay.
But, I was calling. I had some thoughts on the Knicks, but you know, I guess you got us all amped up on LeBron right now.
Please share. What are your thoughts? So all of you are Knicks fans?
Yeah, we're all Knicks fans. Thank God.
Yeah. You guys are so cute. Okay, what are your thoughts on the Knicks?
So 2008 Olympics, LeBron, Wade, Bosh, they get together and they mm-hmm. kind of formed the pact to sign together in 2010, right?
Absolutely, and that whole tour, coming here to New York, going to Chicago, it was all facade. They knew what they were going to do. It was already in the works. Absolutely.
So I was thinking 2016 Olympics, Kyrie and KD played together. So this is like a theory I have. Maybe they formed like a similar pact. And then and this free agency is kind of like
and come to the Knicks,
and come to the Knicks.
Possibly. Listen, I had Amin Alhassan on the show last week, and I thought it was really interesting. And when he was talking about KD's mindset when it comes to LeBron James, because there is some speculation, there's some talk out there that KD will go to Los Angeles and join forces with LeBron James. But the majority of people who are in the know, have their finger on the pulse of the league and what's happening here, say absolutely not. KD at the end of his career wants to be recognized and known as better than LeBron James. And in order for him to do that, he has to go somewhere. LeBron James goes to Los Angeles and tries to resurrect a storied franchise, trying desperately to do so. And KD should do the same. And maybe that franchise is the Knicks. That's the narrative that I'm hearing more frequently in regard to beat reporters and analysts that cover the NBA. That's what I'm hearing, is that the motivation for Kevin Durant. Keep in mind, the Golden State Warriors can pay Kevin Durant $60 million more than any other team in the NBA. At the end of the day, if it comes down to the Benjamins, if it comes down to money, which we've heard KD say in the past, then it would be wise for him to stay with the Golden State Warriors because they can pay him $60 million more than any other team. But here's the thing when it comes to Kevin Durant, when it comes to legacy. You know, we're going to get into Kevin Durant in a minute in his press conference and the fallout from his press conference. You know, Kevin Durant has been walking around with a chip on his shoulder since he signed with the Golden State Warriors. How he did not expect the fallout to be from signing a team that has that much talent, that has won championships in the past without him, that he lost to, then leaves Oklahoma and goes to the team that beat his team to win a championship on that team, for him not to expect the fallout that has taken place while he's been in Golden State is beyond me. His camp should have explained and told him to expect that, but he's bruised. His ego is bruised, his image is bruised, and he definitely walks around with a chip on his shoulder. In order to improve that image, I think a place coming to New York in being the man in New York. And even if, let's say, KD comes to the Knicks and Kyrie, let's say Anthony Davis deal doesn't happen for Boston and Kyrie ends up leaving Boston and comes to New York, I still think this is KD's team. Not to take anything away from Kyrie, but whenever you look at these super teams, you do say this is the one, this is the two, this is the three. And I would say KD would be the one. And I think in my opinion, I think that's what needs to happen for him to improve and rebuild his image. Look, it's damaged. And I don't know if just coming to New York would improve the image. I think coming to New York and winning would improve the image. And I don't know if that's winning a championship or just taking the Knicks to an Eastern Conference championship.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Patriots won 13-3. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady win their sixth title in nine championships. And Julian Edelman, 10 receptions, 141 yards, walks away with the MVP. I had a really hard time listening to sports talk radio and television after the Super Bowl because the narrative and the conversation was Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. First of all, I have a really hard time appointing a player the greatest of all time who plays in a team sport. Personally, I feel this Super Bowl was won by the defense. I don't feel the Super Bowl was won by Tom Brady. Now, if you want to say, well, wait a minute, Anita, Tom Brady completed two phenomenal passes to Gronk, one that was to move the chains on a crucial drive, and the other, of course, was the one where Gronk really should have scored the touchdown, but he was tackled on the one, and then Michelle ran it in for the touchdown. But that defense, so one would argue that the Patriots defense, that I think you can argue that and the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl defensive performances as two of the greatest of all time. To hold the Rams to 3 points, to shut down Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson, Jared Goff was a deer in headlights all game. Tom Brady didn't do that. Patriots defense did that. On top of that, I've said this before. Rewind. I truly believe, and again, this is my gut feeling, this is my own personal opinion, that if the Seattle Seahawks would have ran the football with Marshawn Lynch on the one-inch yard line, Seattle would have won the Super Bowl. I truly believe that Kyle Shanahan would have committed to the run when the Atlanta Falcons were up by a gazillion points and Dante Freeman was running for days. Instead of passing the ball three times with Matt Ryan, incomplete, stopping the clock, then I do believe that the Atlanta Falcons would have won that Super Bowl. So now we're talking about a Patriots team winning, in my opinion, 4 of 9. And again, the conversation around Tom Brady all week, when this was such a unbelievable defensive performance. The conversation should have been around his name escapes me now, the defensive coordinator who's now going to Miami to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores, right? Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator. Now they're bringing Greg Shanahan in to be the defensive coordinator, I believe, in New England. So the defensive coordinator now is going to be the head coach with the Miami Dolphins. So the conversation should have been around him and around the performance of this Patriots defense, not Tom Brady. And not him being the greatest of all time. I was watching the Colin Cowherd show the other day, and he went so far to compare Tom Brady to Peyton Manning, and he used the comparison of Phil Mickelson to Tiger Woods. I was so up in arms. I don't do this that often, unless you're the New York Waterways. But I tweeted towards Colin and Joy and said, you can't compare individual sports to team sports. It's apples and oranges. It's nowhere close. It's nowhere close. Tom Brady did not suit up and play defense against the Rams. And we sit here and we all week long talking about Tom Brady being the greatest of all time. And actually, pre-Super Bowl, New York game day, Chris Canty and I got into a debate about Tom Brady. Chris Canty does feel that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. I don't. I think circumstances has really helped Tom Brady in a huge way become a phenomenal quarterback. And I think you could put him in the discussion as one of the greatest of all time. But to appoint him as such, I believe that Aaron Rodgers is 10 times the quarterback that Tom Brady is. And if Aaron Rodgers was blessed enough to be in the situation and be with the team and all that encompasses Tom Brady's success, I don't know. Maybe the Patriots would have more Super Bowls. Maybe his stats would be just as good, if not better, than Tom Brady's. I really, really have a problem with that. That's part one of my argument. Part two is, again, I don't think it's realistic to talk about the greatest of all time when we're talking about team sports. And I know it's what we do. It's what we do as a sports community. It's what we do as a sports society. It makes conversation fun. Debate is fun. But if this is the narrative and this is how we are judging professional athletes, how can you say LeBron is greater than Michael Jordan? If we are basing our decision-making process on championships when it comes to team sports. Now, I will say this. To me, NBA is a little bit different than football because you don't come off the court. In the NFL, you have offense, defense. And there's a third component a lot of people don't talk about. That's special teams. In the NBA, and one of the biggest criticisms in the NBA, right, is nobody wants to play defense. You have very few players in the NBA these days that are just as good on both sides of the court as they were in years past. But nonetheless, that is my issue right now. And I've never felt more strongly about it until after this week when I had to hear all of this about Tom Brady.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Who's joining us at 10:30, Ty?
David McMenamin.
There we go.
And you got to introduce him, though, when he comes on.
Why are you forcing me to introduce
him? He's our special guest.
I know, but you say his name. You say his name so eloquently.
But we can't have the producer come introduce the guest.
Yes, we can. We can do whatever we want. RJ Bell is going to be joining us from 11 to noon here on 98.7 ESPN.
So maybe I'll introduce RJ Bell as well. How about that?
Okay. You can do whatever you want, Ty. Whatever you want. So in the breaks, I'm having some fun. There's prop bets out there in regard to where Antonio Brown's going to land, where Joe Flacco's going to land, Nick Foles, which could be very interesting for the Giants. There's a lot of talk and a lot of speculation out there that if Nick Foles becomes a free agent, he might land with the Giants or even Washington and stay in the division. I'm sure Philadelphia is hoping that doesn't happen. Some NBA. Future odd picks as well as next Super Bowl and a lot more. That will be coming your way from 11 to noon right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to your calls and let's kick it off with Dre in Brooklyn. Dre, welcome in.
Hi, how you doing?
Good morning.
I wanted to talk about the legacy of LeBron you mentioned about earlier in the show.
Right.
And I feel like you forgot to mention about, you know, the difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron is that Michael Jordan, LeBron James never had a coach figure in his career. Never had it in his career. Yet Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant had Phil Jackson. Tim Duncan had Greg Popovich. And, you know.
But let me ask you this. Do you really think LeBron would want that? Do you really think LeBron could exist and be content playing for somebody like Pat Riley or Phil Jackson? Well, maybe Phil Jackson, because Phil Jackson's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like loose and cool and laid back.
At this juncture of his career, no. If maybe young LeBron, if he was younger, yes, and more humble. But LeBron James at this point knows he feels like he's the greatest player of all time. He can't. We can't disagree with that.
No, but as I said earlier, Dre, we have created this reality for him. We have the fans, the media.
Yeah, and
so why wouldn't he walk around with that amount of arrogance and that ego and not be willing to work with a coach?
Because he never had a coach figure in his career. Every coach that he wind up having wind up getting fired.
Because he gets them fired. He does it to himself. Let me tell you something. And folks don't know this. I'm from Miami, and I knew Eric Spoelstra when Eric Spoelstra was the tape guy for the Miami Heat. In fact, Eric used to host these Tuesday night runs at the AAA where the Miami Heat played, and I was invited to them. So I knew the coaching staff for the Miami Soul, which was the women's NBA WNBA team. And so I was invited via them. But Eric Spoelstra would host these Tuesday night runs, and we'd show up around like 7 o'clock at night. We'd play till 1 o'clock in the morning on the practice court with the Miami Heat, and you know, be a ton of people, like people in the marketing department would come play, whatever. So I've known Eric for a long time. Eric's father was very, very tight with Pat Riley. Pat Riley looks at Eric Spoelstra as a son. That's why Eric Spoelstra did not get fired from the Miami Heat. There was no way Pat Riley was going to fire Eric Spoelstra. He's like a son to him. All the power that LeBron and his camp were bringing to the table to try to get Eric Spoelstra out of there, there's no way. There was no way that was going to happen. And then LeBron just had to deal with making it work with Eric. And Pat Riley stood his ground, and rightfully so. I'll be shocked if Luke Walton is the head coach of the Lakers next year, won't you? He's gone. He's done. Don't you think?
Yeah, he's a dead man walking. This is not an ideal situation for him. He went from being the head coach of a team that was in the midst of a rebuild, so his task was to just make sure the young players developed. Once you get LeBron James, you become a win now in a Western Conference. That's really tough. So, I mean, he was in a tough situation. This was never built for him to last, this job.
Let's go to Omar in Brooklyn. Omar, you're up. Omar, you there?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
How are you? Good morning. Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. I want to ask you. First, there's a lot of scenarios what can happen and what is media portraying that Kevin Durant is coming here. First, I do not believe on the leads. If somebody is telling me, oh, I have a source, that means that's a lie. Because if you go to a court and tell them that you are a source, and if you don't provide that source, that's a lie in front of a court.
Well,
so
no,
everything
Omar,
is a source
Omar,
is a lie.
No, Omar, wait, Omar, right? Omar, Omar, yes. Let me explain something to you. I'm in the media. So let me explain something to you. You have sources out there. A source will tell you a bit of information that either they are telling you, you can report, but you cannot place my name on it. Or a source is going to tell you something that's going to help you develop an opinion about a scenario and a situation that is going down. Unless that source says to you, Omar, you know what? Put my name on it. I give you permission to put my name on it. Because what happens is if you do that without they're okay, then you lose them as a source, Omar. They'll never trust you again. So
okay, I totally understand how it works.
Okay.
Like, I totally understand, but I am saying if you don't play as Jets head coach will say, put your name into it, right? That if you don't put your name into it, there is only a created story that you can make a story where you think it can land up to. So a source is basically telling you something. Oh, Kevin Durant something you say, or Kevin Durant manager said something, and you can lead that towards wherever you want to pinpoint that story into, unless you want to put your name into it. Like Stephen A. Smith reported before the first time LeBron James that he's going to Miami Heat. He was the first one put his name into it before it was leading. My sources are telling me he is going to be a Miami Heat. He put it with his voice into it. So that is called, unless you come into straightforward, otherwise it's all leading stories that you can create because you have to fill the gap for next 3 months. Because everybody knows after the playoffs, the Knicks fan base, you're basically rotating the New York Knicks fan base, and New York Knicks fan base have nothing to cheer about for up to a May 14th when the ping pong ball trigger. So you have to create a story. So Kevin Durant and Zion and everybody, Anthony Davis, is the story for New York fan base. That's why you are trying to sell this.
But I don't think this is creating a story. When you listen to around the landscape of NBA beat reporters, you listen around the landscape to NBA analysts, a lot of them are reporting the same thing. It's going to be musical chairs this summer, and nobody is saying for sure. Here's another thing, Ty, you follow the NBA even more so than I do. Nobody's coming out and saying absolutely for sure 100% KD's going to end up in New York.
No.
Nobody's saying absolutely for sure 100% Kyrie's going to stay in Boston.
Correct.
What's being reported out there is just the scenarios of what could happen. You know, is Kyrie waiting in Boston to see if the Celtics do have a legit chance to land Anthony Davis? Is KD's drive to surpass LeBron James as the greatest basketball player of this era contingent on him coming to New York and resurrecting the storied franchise with the Knicks? These are the storylines that are out there, and this is what is being reported by a number of people. But I don't know one top name NBA reporter who's come out and said this is where this guy's going 100%. It's a lot of speculation right now.
Yeah, that's what it all. And a part of why there's so much speculation is because we know already what's going to happen in June. Like, the Warriors are going to win the NBA Finals, so the excitement this season is predicated on what's going to happen in July.
Let's go to Joe in Jersey. Joe, welcome in.
Hi, Nina. How are you?
Good morning.
So I was going to talk about LeBron, but you hit on a point that I'm so passionate about that I'm just going to talk about that with the Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady comparison.
Right.
So I'm an Aaron Rodgers, and I'm a Packers fan, a huge Packers fan. And all my friends are telling me Tom Brady is GOAT, Tom Brady is GOAT. But I'm telling them, first off, from a football point of mind, I'm trying to be as objective as I can as a Packers fan. I've never seen anybody throw the football like Aaron Rodgers. He can do everything. And Tom Brady can't do things that Aaron Rodgers can. That's first off. Second off, like you said, football is there's so many moving pieces. It's holistic. There's special teams. There's defenses. If it wasn't for Tom Brady's early defenses and his early championships, they wouldn't have won. If it wasn't for his defense against the Rams, they wouldn't have won. If it wasn't for the Tuck rule, he probably would have never went to his first championship, and it could have destroyed everything. So I feel like luck is on his side, kind of. He is a great leader. I'll give him that. He is clutch. I'll give him that. But skill-wise, definitely not. There's so many more quarterbacks that can do more, like Dan Marino, Aaron Rodgers, John Elway. And I just think he has luck on his side. I think and Bill Belichick obviously is the greatest coach, best schemes, best system. And Tom Brady even said, I don't know if he was being humble, but even said that if you switched places with Aaron Rodgers, me and Aaron Rodgers, you would probably throw for 7,000 yards and so many more touchdowns.
Yeah, and that was a lot of humility in that comment from Tom Brady, for sure. You know, this is a conversation that I've had several times, and that is, so much has to go right for specifically a quarterback in the NFL to have great success. And I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady. I have immense respect for Tom Brady. Keep in mind, this is a guy that was drafted in the sixth round. I don't even, like, what was his 40 time? Like a 5.23 or something like that? He was as slow as molasses. Didn't start, as we know, for the Patriots until Drew Bledsoe went down. You know, this is a guy that had to work so hard. Like, Brady's story is so special and so unique. There was a Super Bowl that I was covering. I want to say it may have been the Giants Super Bowl in Arizona, and it was media day, and it was kind of dying down. There weren't a lot of people around Tom Brady's booth. And he was next to Rodney Harrison. And him and Rodney Harrison had a very, very deep relationship, because Rodney Harrison was a guy who wasn't drafted until, I want to say, the sixth or seventh round either by the Patriots. And all these teams passed up on these two guys, and you could sit here and you can argue, you know, two of the best at their position, right? And Tom Brady told the story of draft day for him. And so he was home for the draft. He wasn't invited to New York or a green room. And he was sitting there, and the first day of the draft came by and his name wasn't called. Second day went by, his name wasn't called. And I want to say the sixth round wasn't till the third day. And he said he couldn't stomach watching the draft anymore. And so his family was there. He excused himself. He went into his room and he said he's never cried harder. And he cried so hard because he was so upset, because he felt that he needed to choose a different career choice. His heart wanted him to be an NFL football player, but he didn't think that he'd get the opportunity to do so. So after his very deep and long, hard cry, he sat in his bed with a legal pad and he started writing down other career choices. What are some of the other career choices Tom Brady would have loved to pursue? Other than being now, as a number of people feel, the greatest of all time at the quarterback position for the NFL. And he sat there and for a good hour and contemplated what were some of the other career choices, contemplating, I'll have to go back to Michigan and I'll go back to graduate school and here's what I want to do. And then all of a sudden, knock on the door, his mom opens the door and says, Patriots drafted you in the sixth round, son. And he said he still has that paper. And that's a huge motivation for him. His story is special. His story is unique. He is an outlier in regard to the success that he has had in the NFL based on his draft position and how hard he's had to work and all that he's had to overcome. His story is special. But also blessed that he went to arguably one of the best franchises in sports, period, across the board. The way they draft, how smart they are in free agency. The offensive game plan that he's been under. Yes, it's changed. It's been tweaked. But the consistency of being with one team, being blessed to play for a team that always just drafts so well. Let's take the left tackle position, for example. Patriots are like, go ahead, Giants. Make Nate Solder the highest paid left tackle in the NFL. Go ahead, have him. Wet the bed this season. You know how many sacks Nate Solder gave up as being the highest paid left tackle in the NFL? Meanwhile, next man up in New England, I want to say, by the way, New England Patriots offensive line only gave up one sack all postseason. One sack. That's it. Chargers, Kansas City, and the Rams, all three of those teams were in the top of the league in regard to stats for most pressure on quarterbacks and sacks this season. Heck, the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs alone had 90 sacks in the season. Combined. My whole point is so much has to go right in order for a quarterback to have success in the NFL. And so many things have gone right for Tom Brady. There's no denying that. If he would have been drafted to the Cleveland Browns, if he would have been drafted to the Buffalo Bills, would we be sitting here and calling Tom Brady the greatest of all time? I highly doubt it, with all due respect.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.